This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Amen. Just give someone a high five while you're sitting down. Somebody next to you. Amen. Amen. Don't you just love God? Amen. I'm so excited to be with you all. You know, right now, like I mentioned earlier, we are in a season as a church. We are fasting for 21 days. We began last Sunday, and you know, many have joined that fast, you know, and our pastor has instructions. He posted it on his social media page. But I would encourage you, you know, if you are feeling a tug in your heart in this season, if you're feeling as though there is something that God wants to say to you and reveal to you, but it's not quite clear, you're having, you know, dreams, you know, consistently, but all of them are kind of blurry or things like that. It's like something is not clear to you. The Holy Spirit is trying to tug on your heart. You know, there's a season that we're coming into. I think 2023 is going to be one of the very interesting year, you know, in all aspects. There's going to be a shaking, a great shaking that begins as we enter this new season. And it's going to be so critical for you to know who you are in God. It's going to be so pivotal for you to understand your identity in God, to know how God will begin to guide your life. You know, I'm believing that we are coming into a time that would be similar to the time of Joseph, right? Joseph had foresight. He had a revelation of what was to come. He had an understanding. The Lord actually even gave, this is how amazing God is, when God wants to release a word, He even gave the dream to a person who was a non-believer. So that his strategy would not only unlock, reveal the meaning of the dream. I want you to study the life of Joseph when you have the chance. Not only would he unlock the meaning of the dream, but he would unlock God's strategy to keep his people. You see, in the time of Joseph, everyone was just having a great time, you know, going out, going for dinners and birthdays and whatnot. Not realizing that there was a time to come that there would be a great famine. But Joseph, because he received clarity, he received instructions from the Lord, he had the ability to plan for a season of drought. And you need a word from God for the seasons that we're going into, about who you are, who he's called you to be, and how he's called you to live. Right? You know, it's so beautiful. Jesus would say things like, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he's talking about two different things here. Because on one aspect, he's talking about your natural body. Right? Your natural body needs food to survive. You don't see anyone telling you, like, man, you know, that dinner I had 2 years ago at, you know, the steakhouse is sustaining me right now. No, that is their spirit talking, because they died by starvation, okay? It's not possible. But then in the same way that you constantly need to fuel your body, literally, even scientists would suggest that the body can only go without food for a period of maybe around 40 days. And then our Lord showed that in the Bible, right? But they tell you that the body needs food to survive. It needs food to be equipped for your body to get the nutrients to function in the way God designed. But in the same way, Jesus says, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because the essence of who you are, the essence of your truth, can only be sustained by the word of God. You cannot be in this year or going into the new season talking about a word you received from 2001. Is what is keeping you. You need, God moves in a rhythm. He moves in a flow. That's why sometimes, even in the Bible, you see that in Revelation, that the Holy Spirit will be likened to a river, a stream. It's moving. It has a flow to it. And when you're walking with God, you move in His flow. That's why the Word of God also tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Not about gender, but position. But those who are led, that God orders the steps of the righteous. There is somewhere you're going. You don't stay stuck in what you've heard or what you've known. You stay available. You stay open-minded. God, what is it that you want to tell me about my life? And this is not a posture of anxiety. It's not a posture of panic. It's not a posture of always being worried about, God, I hope I'm making the right decisions. God, I hope I'm in the right place. But it's for you to open up your heart in a way of surrender. God, at any point in time, disrupt my life. If how I'm walking is not in sync with what you know about my life, God, I'm always available for you to give me a word that disrupts my life. You see, this is a prayer you have to make with clarity. Not emotional. Because when you're down in the dump, you're just like, God, disrupt me now. Okay? You can't. Matter of fact, you're wasting time on this disruption. But when life is going well, you pause a little bit, right? There was a story of a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. And he's like, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus already discerning where his heart is. Jesus already discerning that this man, first of all, the Bible says he was a rich young ruler. So at a young age, he was able to acquire such a powerful status. At a young age, he was moving in a wisdom that much people much older than him has not even functioned in. And perhaps that began to define him. Jesus discerned that his heart was not really with the Lord, was not to follow God, but that he found worth not in God, but in his status. So the Bible describes him as a rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus. He says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, right? Jesus tells him all these things. I love how Jesus acts. Jesus already knowing where he's going. He's like, yeah, you know, do this. You know, the commandments, follow the commandments and all that stuff. And the man is like, oh, I've done all of that. I've done that since I was a kid. But check this. If there was something that was calling on to him, this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. There is a moment where the Holy Spirit will begin to quicken your heart. There is more to you than you know about yourself. There is more to you than your titles and your accolades and your wins. There is something that God wants to reveal about your life. And this man being drawn to that, he was like, okay, there is something that is not quite right. And he goes to Jesus because his heart is searching. But then he was still bound by his own desires. So his heart is searching, but he really doesn't want change. His heart is searching, but he doesn't really want God to disrupt his life. So he goes to Jesus. Jesus tells him all of that. He's like, God, I've done all of that. And then Jesus tells him, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Jesus was not trying to have this man go broke. But Jesus was trying to release the bondage that wealth had over him. He says, it's not going to be possible for you to follow me and be bound. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. So when you come in the presence of Jesus, anything that looks like bondage over your life, he begins to reveal it. He brings it to the light and shows you how to let it go. But it's your choice. And this rich young ruler, the Bible says that literally he walked away. That what Jesus told him to do revealed where his heart was. And if he was really willing to change, if he was really willing to receive a new identity. And here is the sad part. The Bible says he walks away sorrowful. So he walks away, but he's in sorrow because as he's walking away, he's killing a sensitivity that is telling him there is more to your life. There is more than this. There are things about your life that you don't even know. And as he's walking away, he's killing that voice. And he's causing him to be sad because then he will never know what that thing is. He would only stick to where he has been. He would only stick to his experiences in life. And you see, when we talk about this experience, the Lord began to show me this interesting connection connection between experience and truth, right? Because oftentimes our experience betrays us from receiving truth. You know, I want to read to you the word of God that came to a prophet named Jeremiah before he knew what God knew about him. Because your life was always what was designed by God to be a mystery to you and to the world. Because God reveals elements and layers of your life according to times and seasons. He doesn't tell you everything at once. He reveals it when the time demands that part of you to come out. When the times that you're in and the season that you're in demands something that God placed in you to be revealed. So check this out. It says in Jeremiah 1, 5 to 10, and if you're taking notes, my word today is God, who am I? I had a vision, and that's what really inspired this message. When I was asking the Lord, what is it you want me to tell your people? And I had this vision of there was just a crowd of people, and they're looking up, and they're all asking the same question, who am I? And then the Lord showed me this. So Jeremiah 1, 5 to 10, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah, what I'm calling you to do, I will equip you. See, I have this day, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Jeremiah, I'm revealing something to you that speaks to the alignment of who you should be on this day, in this season of your life. This word is coming to you because, Jeremiah, in order for you to function in truth, you need to know who you are called to be and what it needs to be revealed out of you in this season. He said, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah, there is an authority that has been released over your life on this day because it is in alignment with what my will has always been for you, and I need you to receive it. But as I'm reading this, I'm seeing the difference between truth and experience. Because God is speaking to Jeremiah from a place of truth. Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before your parents knew about you. Before you even knew about yourself. Before you knew how to say your name. Before you knew when they asked you, how old are you? 2, you know. Before any of that, I knew you. And I had a purpose for you. When I sent you on this earth, I sent you as a word. I sent you as a strategy. I sent you to reveal my glory in a unique way. Jeremiah, I knew you. But Jeremiah is having a bit of difficulty to receive the truth of God's word because of his experience. He said, no, no, Lord, don't say that. I'm only a youth. I can't speak. And the Lord is like, don't say that. Because I'm not speaking to you as this good idea. I'm not giving you what I think will be a great, you know, option for your life in this time. I'm speaking to you from a realm that is. Jeremiah, the books have been written before time. And this is what it says about you. You are a prophet to the nations. This little kid. And the Lord is just disrupting his norm with this truth. And I began to think about how many of us are like Jeremiah. And not just us, it's even how organizations function. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and Blockbuster, some of you, I'm saying Blockbuster, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but I would explain it a little bit. But they were doing this immersive pop-up experience where, you know, you come in, and there was a time where Blockbuster used to be like the leading home entertainment. Any movie you want to watch, you go to a Blockbuster store, and you get the movie and whatnot. But they were the lead. And so they're having this pop-up experience, and they're interviewing people, and they asked the lady, you know, how did this feel? And she was like, wow, you know, it was so nostalgic. And they're like, and, you know, they're just cheering her on. And I'm like, I know she meant that as a compliment, but I'm hearing it as an insult. And this is why I say that, because when you say something is nostalgic, you're like, man, it makes me miss the past, you know, the good old days. But Blockbuster was not supposed to be in the past. It's not supposed to be a feeling of the good old days. You see, because in their prime, you know, they used to be worth like around $6 billion, right? And Netflix came to them to say, hey, you guys should buy us, you know? The CEOs came to them. They were like, hey, we'll sell our company to you. They were feeling themselves because of their experience. They're like, look, what we do works for us, right? This thing you guys have going on, yeah, we're not interested. Because at that time, Netflix was only worth about $50 million. And so they're like, first of all, we are in the billion category, you know? So you and your little ship can just sail on, right? And so they're feeling themselves because of experience. They're like, look, this is what works. This is what the market likes. But then you fast forward, many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But Netflix, that used to be worth $50 million, is currently has a market cap of about $145 billion. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm like, if somebody in that company heard a word from the Lord, had a vision, a dream, something to show them what is coming, they would have equipped themselves differently. They would have not been so stuck in what has always worked for them. Because you see, when God is giving you visions, not just about your life, but even your business, He has seen the end from the beginning. And experience is what hinders innovation. And it's the same thing that happens to us in when God speaks to us. God is telling you something about your life. And maybe it's that you've had a colorful past. You've had a crazy past. You're like, God, that could never be me. And He's like, look, I'm not looking at you from the lens of what you've experienced. I'm not looking at you from the lens of your mistakes. I'm not looking at you through any of that. I look at you through the truth. You see, that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that flows out of Him is truth. I was even wondering the other day, I was listening to music, and I thought about it. I was like, man, if Jesus was in our time, what kind of songs would He sing, you know? Because for Him to say the words, then it has to be true. This was just a random moment I was having. But at the end of the day, whatever God speaks to you, He's not saying something that could be. He's saying what is. But God will not force an identity that you don't want to embrace. You see, this is the difference between being a child of God and a son of God. Because sons recognize position. Sons embrace what the Father says. And sons understand their inheritance in God because they've said yes to God. You see, God began to show me this difference. You see, recently, just I was sharing, we were on a fast, and some of our leaders, we get together and we have prayer calls together. And on one particular prayer call, we just listen to worship so that the Father can speak to us. And we set our heart to understand the price that Jesus paid for us. And as we were in that place of just worship, the Lord gave me this vision that wrecked me. And I saw what looked like an umbilical cord that came from the Father to every creation on earth in humanity. And I was like, God, what is that? And He began to show me there is an umbilical cord that connects me with every human being on the earth. He said, every single person is my child. Every single person. And I was so intrigued by that. I was like, let me understand what the umbilical cord does between a mother and a child. And so when I did some research, it talks about how that through the umbilical cord, oxygen flows from the mother to the child, which is what gives the child life. But simultaneously, as oxygen is flowing, the waste products from the child is removed through the mother. So the mother gives the child life and the mother removes their waste. And it began to show me this image of what Jesus did on the cross. You see, the Bible says that He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before He even created an Adam and an Eve that would fall and sin, He created a way because it's already in His nature. The Lord began to show me that the umbilical cord between a mother and a child is only the physical representation of a spiritual reality. He said, I already factored to take away your mess. already factored to take away your sins. I already factored to take away the things that cause you to live under this weight of shame and guilt. I factored it and I revealed it on the cross. That was a strategy to clean us up so that we would never have an excuse to say, God, I'm so filthy. God, how can I do this thing you've called me to do? Wait, have you seen my life? Have you seen the things I've done? Have you seen the pain I've caused? And he said, look, there is an umbilical cord that connects me to you. You are my child, whether you know it or not. That's why the Spirit of God, the Word of God tells us that it is the Spirit that no one goes to God on their own will. The Spirit draws you. But you know why it could draw you? Because it is connected to you even when you did not know the Lord. Yeah. But when he draws you, you have to answer the call. God will not force himself on you. He will not force an identity on you. But he wants to show you, I factored all of this on the cross. The very excuse you're giving to say that you cannot do what I've called you to, that you cannot be who I've called you to be, I factored that on the cross. I factor to clean up everything that the enemy could use to taunt you, to torment you. That feeling of unworthiness, on the cross. That feeling of abandonment, on the cross. Everything you thought could cripple you, on the cross. That's why the Bible says that Jesus, that on the cross, he led captivity captive. That everything that could hold his people bound, he bounded in his body. And that was what died on the cross, not him. You see, the Lord just began to show me this weight of love that he has for us. Because when you're just like, man, God, that's not for me. Have you read about the disciples? Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, comes on the earth. And the people he gathers around him as his team were not the people respected by men. These were ordinary folks. They were businessmen. There was a guy who was despised by so many people because he was a tax collector. I'm sure he will be despised today as well, right? They were... Listen. But these were ordinary guys. There were people that didn't believe in him. There was a guy named Thomas, and we've given him the nickname Doubting Thomas. And then you have Judas, the one who betrayed Christ. But here's the thing about Judas. Judas was called by God. You see, Judas represents what it looks like to reject the voice of God, to not embrace your identity in God. Because God is not petty. Jesus is not petty. He labored to understand who should be the apostles. The Bible tells us that Jesus literally, he went on a mountain praying, asking the Father, reveal to me who the apostles are, because many disciples followed him. Because a disciple is literally a follower of Christ. But the apostles is different. These are the people that lay the foundation of God's church. That lay the foundation of what it is that God wants to do in the world. So when Jesus goes up to the mountain, praying like, Father, reveal to me who are these people, Judas was amongst them. Judas was not mentioned as an apostle just to betray Christ. That would be petty. Christ did not need Judas to identify him. He could identify himself. He could have said, hey, here I am. Who you're looking for? That's me, right? He didn't need all of that. Because Judas, yes, the Bible tells us that Judas betrayed the Lord, so we have understanding, but Judas really betrayed himself. Because when you think about betrayal, the end result is always negative. When you why is it that we have offense sometimes and resentment and unforgiveness when someone betrays you? Because the outcome was negative. So you feel like someone stole something from you. But Judas's betrayal led Jesus right into purpose. So it wasn't a betrayal of Christ. But really, he betrayed himself. Because he was not functioning from the truth of who an apostle was supposed to be. He was supposed to be laying down the foundations. He was supposed to posture himself in a way that the Holy Spirit would use him so mightily. Instead of that, he sold out for, what, 30, you know, coins of silver or whatever. And here's the thing about Judas. I always thought that, man, Judas' lust problem was what got him. That Judas just had this thing where, you know, it just had a hold on him. But then the Lord began to open my eyes that was the surface issue. Because you see, the disciples, yes, they followed God. You know, some of them, they already, someone like Peter would have a revelation that, oh, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and all that stuff. Some of them, they had an idea of who he was. That's why Jesus would have some moments, he would ask them, you know, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Because Jesus also realized that some of the disciples were following him for what they perceived he should do. Because in the time that Jesus walked the earth, the Israelites were under the Roman rule. And it was an oppressive rule. And so they were trying to get free from it. So when Jesus shows up, they were like, the Messiah has come to set us free from the Romans. And so they're following him, waiting to, you know, like, you know, when is this going to happen? You know, when are you going to overtake this kingdom? And that is why when you read the Bible, it talks about how there was a moment where the people tried to make Jesus a natural king. Because they assumed that the Messiah should give us this kind of freedom. Not realizing he came to release them from a bigger oppressor. That when he can remove the power of death, the power of sin from their lives, it would equip them with the Holy Spirit and they could bring the change they're looking for. But they didn't realize that the vision that Jesus has was much bigger. They were thinking too small. And so when Jesus is going to the cross, that's why Peter would rebuke him. He's like, what? Lord, you cannot go. And Jesus looks at him and he says, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on things of this world. Because Peter was still small-minded. So Jesus, you're talking about dying, and Judas is listening to this conversation. Judas is like, wait, hold up. So you're not going to give us freedom from the Romans? Let me get what I can while I got you. So Judas was functioning from a place that he didn't realize that everything Jesus did was an expression of love. Judas' problem was not that he had a lust issue about money or whatever. Judas' problem was that he was not established in God's love. He wasn't established that even the death of Christ was an expression of love. You see, the Bible will say something like, you know, this was Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, no greater love can anyone have than to lay down their lives for their friends. This is what he told his disciples. No greater love can anyone demonstrate but to lay down their life for their friends. Jesus kept teaching them, kept giving them hints. What I'm doing is an expression of great love. I'm not going to abandon you, but it is an expression of my heart for you. And that's why even when Judas betrayed Christ, when he came, but the betrayal was by a kiss, right? Like he will kiss who the Messiah is. And when he comes to Jesus to give him a kiss, Jesus tells him, friend, do what you have come to do. But here is the thing. When you read that scripture through the lens of love, Jesus calling him friend was intentional. He was trying to jog his memory a little bit. I just told you, no greater love does one have but to lay down their lives for a friend. Judas, even in the moment of what you think is a betrayal, I love you. Yes. And what I'm doing can clean up this mess. But Judas did not know how to handle, because that's why all of a sudden he's just filled with guilt. And guilt in the wrong hand can lead to things that are very disastrous. Guilt in the hands of the enemy is what caused him to kill himself. Because with that guilt, the enemy will torment and cripple you, where you start feeling like it's not worth it. I don't need to live anymore. But guilt in the hands of God, he would show you, hey, I already cleaned that up. I already factored that. And why I'm sharing this is that there are many people who are acting even like Judas right now. God has given you a word. And you're not You're not following Jesus because of the word he gave you. You're following him to supply you with what you want for your life. You see, many of us, we use Jesus as a vehicle for other things, right? And one of the ways you can tell is just examine how your prayers and your fast. Do you spend time in fasting and in prayer to know what is on the heart of God, or to lay down all your requests and all your desires? Do you take time to say, God, you know what? I have this opportunity coming up. I want your will. Yes, I'm going to pray that you give me favor, but God, if it does not happen, if this is not in alignment with your plan for me, shut the door. Examine your prayer life, and it will let you know if Jesus is your Lord or your vehicle. Because many times we're just using Jesus' name for our desires. Lord, I walked in the church, I saw this person. Wow, they looked at me the way they worshiped. God, I just pray that you will just let them look my way. But have you taken the time to say, God, like, who do you have for me? You know, let me not just place this desire before you, but you reveal to me, is this on your heart for me? So that I'm not using in Jesus' name as a vehicle, but truly I'm using in Jesus' name as a way of submission. God, you show me. You see, Judas was following Jesus because of what he could constantly get from him. But Jesus kept him on the journey because he's banking on, man, if you could only get a little closer to me, then transformation will begin to take place. I want you to examine, what is your relationship with God like? Is it for you? For the things according to the level of your experience? Or is it to encounter truth? You see, one of the mission of our house is that we would encounter, would not even just encounter, we would embrace our true selves. The truth of who you are is in Christ. And I truly believe that we are in a season that God wants to reveal new names to you, new levels of authority to you, the things that he's always known about you before time. And it's not based on what you've done in life or any of that. It's just based on truth. It's based on who you are. And it's time to rid yourself of the baggage of shame and guilt and unworthiness and sin and all of that, and realize that all of this was factored on the cross. God still chose you. He still calls you his child, but he wants to bring you into sonship. That from being a child of God, that you will become a son of God, led by the Holy Spirit. Always open and always being able to surrender your ways for his ways. Because when you do this, this is how you stay at the top and not the bottom. The Lord says that he's called you to be the head and not the tail. To always move in sync with him. That at no point in life would life catch you unawares. Would you feel like, oh my gosh, that life is just coming at you and it's burying you with all these issues in the world? No, you would be ahead of the time because you are connected to the one who is outside of it. And so I don't know what words God is speaking over you right now. But if you're asking that question, God, who am I? What do you have for me? It's in his word. It's in his word. That is why whenever God gives you a gift and you feel overwhelmed by that gift, that feeling of being overwhelmed is because you're judging the gift according to who you think you are. But God, in knowing who you are, is releasing what is adequate to your capacity. And so, family, I believe today there is a grace for you to be set free. To be set free from the lies, to be set free from the traps of the enemy. And I want to encourage you, if the Lord is pulling on your heart, maybe you're already on the fast, but if the Lord is pulling on your heart to fast, join the fast. It's 21 days, we're on day 8 today, in your own way. But let there be a sacrifice. Let it cost you something. And let it cost you something that causes you to spend time with the Lord. Because sometimes we just think that we're fasting and we're not eating. But we're not praying. That's a diet. Yeah. That's a quick diet so you could fit into that dress by Sunday, right? Or a suit or something. But if you're fasting, create time. Let it cost you something that brings you into God's presence. I believe there's so many words that is stored up that God wants to reveal in this time. And not only does he want to reveal it, it's for you to embrace it. And so something I would even encourage you to do is to meditate on the love of God. Meditate on God's love for you. You would be blown away by what he begins to show you. You see, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how in order for us to be filled with the fullness of God, that we have to comprehend the love of God that goes beyond knowledge, that surpasses all knowledge. The connection to move in power and authority in the name of God is connected to understanding his love for you. Because in his love, you have rest. In his love, you have peace. In his love, you are not shaken by the battle that comes because you recognize if there's a battle coming, it's actually coming because I'm anointed to overcome it. You see, something I was recently just blown away by is David. David is anointed king, and all of a sudden, Goliath shows up. Goliath doesn't even know. The only reason that they had this strategy for him to show up and act like a bully is because the one who will take him down is aware of himself. And so the Lord anoints David. And so when Goliath shows up, David is like, oh, I've been anointed for this. And you have to realize that when opposition comes to you, you see, that's why the enemy is the ruler over darkness. Anytime you find yourself afraid about opposition, anytime you find yourself in fear about challenges and obstacles, don't settle there. Get out of that and begin to ask God, give me revelation. Because I'm only afraid because I don't know who I am. I'm only afraid. The enemy can only use this against me because he is using my ignorance, which is darkness, to manipulate me. Because in the reality of the matter, when God allows you to experience opposition, when God allows it, is because you're bigger than it. It is the same reason that God would allow the enemy to have access in the Garden of Eden. Because they were over him. They had authority over him. So yeah, let him. He could chat with you guys if he wants to. The serpent was having a conversation with Eve. God never rebuked the serpent for having a conversation. God never. He was like, no, I created the garden, and that's all right if he wants to come. Do you think God is threatened by Satan? Satan, literally, the Bible tells us how there are places in heaven that Satan still accesses, right? He would just walk in and say, hey, what's going on, guys? And God is having conversations with him. Have you considered my servant Job? He's not threatened by him, because how can you be threatened by what is under you? And so when God allows you, because the reality is that if you think that every opposition you experience did not pass a check mark by the Lord. Because trust me, if the enemy had his way, we would all be dead. If the enemy had his way, we would not be here. So when God allows you to experience opposition, it's actually a strategy for you to realize who you are. That you are bigger than this. That you're in a season that I'm calling you to rise up higher. Because in this season, I want to reveal to you a new truth about your life. But you have to embrace it. When you reject that truth, that is why how life can crush a person. Because the thing you're complaining about is the thing you have been given victory over. And so I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you today. If you know you have been feeling, just stand with me in this moment. And what I want you to do, as we have altar calls, I want you to recognize that when I'm asking you to come out of your seat and come to the altar, that I want you to see it as a prophetic act. that I'm coming out of complacency. I'm coming out of the comfort. I'm coming out of shame. I'm coming out of guilt. I'm going to make a decision that the enemy, you can't have my mind. You can't have my purpose. You can't take that from me. You see, in the enemy's strategy, the Bible tells us that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the first phase is to steal. If he can steal that word from you, if he can steal from what God has said about you, then everything else is easy for him. The word doesn't say the enemy has come to destroy or come to kill and destroy and steal. No, no, no. It starts with theft. If I can steal from you, if I can rob you of what God said to you, the rest is easy. I don't want you to be so crippled by all these things that don't matter. And maybe you, I've been, even when I was in prayer for you, I just kept sensing that many are so heavy by the pain they've also caused others. But there is a grace for that. When you're truly repentant of heart, there are consequences to actions. But then the Lord also knows how to heal not only your heart, but the hearts of those that your life in the state of ignorance caused brokenness and pain. And I say state of ignorance because you just didn't know who you were. There is a grace for that. God knows how to cause all the pieces to work together when you come in alignment with his plan for your life. That's why that word, it not only says that God causes everything to work together for good, it says for the good of those who are called, right? It gives you the understanding of purpose. That when I align myself with the purpose of God, he knows how to make everything work together for good. And he said everything, all things. When you come in alignment, I can cause all things. The things about your life you want to hide, the things you wish you could bury. I don't know how many people watch this show, Black Mirror. They haven't had a new season in a while. But in the show, it's incredible what they use technology to do, right? If you could wipe away some of your memory, you say, please, just wipe all that away. But God is like, no, 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 keep it there. Keep it there. Because I want to show you that I had a strategy for it on the cross. And I can use all things to work for your good. I am not only your Lord, I'm their God too. I know how to speak to them. I can heal them of things. But it starts with your decision. Are you going to stop running? And are you just going to say yes to God? Because he's going to equip you. You see, the Lord did not just tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet and you got to figure out what I'm thinking. He said, you're going to be a prophet and I have put my words in you. What God has called you to do, the seasons of your life, some of you are experiencing change and transitions, how God is shifting your life, he would equip you for the task. He would equip you for the role. He would equip you for the changes that are taking place. He will equip you. Don't feel like, man, I never saw someone do this. I don't have any reference for this. God will equip you. When you read the Old Testament, when you read even like Numbers and you know, some of the things that feel boring to read in the Old Testament, you'll realize that God will literally even equip people with skill sets, that the Holy Spirit will give people the ability to be craftsmen. It's mind-blowing. But God knows how to equip you. God will teach you about who you need to be in this new season if you would just listen to his voice. And so if you know you're in the house and you've been just dealing with just this sense of unworthiness and not feeling like you're like, God, I don't think I'm the one for the job, and you're willing to say, my experience will no longer speak for me, but I'm going to embrace truth. I want you to meet me at this altar right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as they're coming, let's just praise God on their behalf. Come on, somebody. Amen. 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 Don't worry about who's next to you. None of that. None of that. None of that. I always say that my freedom is much more important to me than your validation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you know you've been running, you know, you're like the running man, you know? If you watch Forrest Gump, run, Forrest. That is you, right? If you know you've been running from the Word of God, you've been running from the instructions of God, I want you to come to this altar. God has shown you things about your life and you have not embraced it. And I love it. Recently, our pastor was talking to us at a dinner about what it means to embrace the Word of God. It shows up in your life, your habits, your decisions are all, they begin to reflect that truth. And also your attitude, right? You're not just doing something because, oh, God said. You're doing it with joy like, man, this is me, right? So you've been running. I want you to come down right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Look at that. Can we just praise God? Just continue to praise Him in this house. Amen. Yes, Lord. You see, there's someone, you're still in your seat, and what the Lord is telling me about you is that where He's calling you into, and this is an experience that many of us have, so I want you to realize that you are not alone. For many of us, our pain was the place of our ministry. And what the Lord is showing me, and this is a guy in particular, and I know what I'm going to say would be hard to receive and walk down, but as you walk, it's every step you take is going to break off shame. Because I'm seeing that the role, some of the things that God has been speaking to you about is connected to an impact in the lives of women. But at the same time, you are crippled by the ways that you have engaged with women in the past. It's like, God, if you're going to use anybody, it's not me. It's certainly not me for this. But there's a vision God has given you, and it's a clear vision, but it would impact the lives of women, and you've been struggling. And I believe the reason God is making this so clear is that He wants you to know that you are the one for that assignment. And if you would have the courage to just walk out of your seat, then even I will promise you this. As a ministry, we would see how we can back you up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Just love on Him. I see you. Just give Him a big hug right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And after service, I would love for you to just meet with us, all right? What God has placed on your heart, it's for you. God wants to do a mighty work through you. And this is just a representation that all that stuff, God said, I factored it on the cross. You did not know who you were when you made those decisions. You did not know who you were. But I'm speaking to you from the realm of truth, and I will cause people to help you because there is help on the way. You see, everything God says about you, the moment you begin to align with it, all of a sudden, your alignment has a sound. It has a sound. And then all of a sudden, people are waking up with you in mind. They're like, man, I need to just call this person. Have you had those moments where when you said yes to God, people just start randomly calling you like, hey, how are you doing? That how are you doing means that they don't know why they're calling you. But there is something God is bothering them about you. You should say, man, I'm doing good. By the way, I've been working on this project. You know, let me tell you about it. Because as you begin to speak the vision, it connects to something in them that is like, I think this is probably what's going on here. Your alignment has a sound. It causes things to start coming together in a way that you cannot even understand. Now, if you're in the house, before we pray, maybe you just walked in here, you know, I saw this this video. This guy literally was like, man, I just left one church. They got some beautiful women in that church. It cracked me up so much because, hey, maybe you walked in here because you said, where are all these young people walking into? Right? Because you're like, look, the pandemic messed us all up, and I can't meet nobody at the grocery store no more. There's laughter in the house of God, amen. But maybe you just, you came in here for different reasons. Maybe a friend just invited you randomly, or you were like, look, wherever they're going, I want to go too. But on the way, you encountered God. On the way, something happened. You thought you were just passing by. You're like, let me just check this thing out. Let me see what it's all about. But in this moment, you cannot shake off what God is doing in your heart. You cannot shake off that the Savior of your soul is calling you into relationship and intimacy. Even for our global family watching right now, maybe someone just randomly sent you the link. They were like, hey, check out this message. And you're like, yeah, I'm not too much into that Jesus stuff. But you can shake off that you thought you were just listening to someone talking, but then the Lord begins to reveal himself to you. So if you're in this house and you're like, man, that is me, and I want to make the Lord my Lord and Savior, I want to submit my life to this God that you guys are talking about, I can explain it, but there's something happening in my heart that I cannot shake off. Not only are we going to lead you into a moment of prayer, but we want to get you plugged in community groups and so many things. So we're going to have, the salvation screen is right behind me. But I want to give you a moment to have a bold declaration of your yes to God. So if you're in this house or you're watching online and you're saying, man, I want to give Jesus my life. I want to make him my Lord and Savior. Then I want you so loudly, just raise up your hand. If you want to raise up both hands, you can do that too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just praise God for what has taken place in this house? Amen. And if you're watching our global family, just put in the chat, that's me. That's me. We see you. We're praying for you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good. You are so merciful. You are so faithful. Your word literally gives us the promise that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, what is happening in this room is such a revealing of your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for those who have stepped out and they're saying that my experience will no longer keep me bound to your truth. My experience will no longer hinder me from embracing who you say I am. God, who am I? I am your word. So it is your word that keeps revealing the essence of my identity. Heavenly Father, I thank you that there is a grace right now that is being poured out on your sons and daughters, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is a grace right now, right now. And they will not even realize how this freedom came about. They will not even realize that the things that used to keep them bound, all of a sudden they can't even find it. They can't even find the taste of it, the appetite for it. They will look for guilt and they can't find it. They will look for shame and they can't find it. And the enemy will try to remind them, even through people, but they will say, nah, that's not me. And then begin to ponder, wow, where did that come from? There is a grace that is flowing right now. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that your sons and daughters will know that they are not doing life by themselves, but that you are the one walking with them. Have your way, Lord. Now, I just want everyone to say with me, especially for those who said yes to Jesus, but we're going to just come, you know, come side by side by you. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I know that on the cross, you died for my sins. But when you were raised up, I was raised up too. free and victorious. So Heavenly Father, make my heart your home. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we just celebrate God in this house? Amen. Amen. I just want to speak a blessing over you. May the Lord God keep you. May the Lord God cause his face to shine upon you. And may he grant you all shalom, shalom. And family, that is perfect peace. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. If you are in need of any, if you need prayer for anything and you just want to touch and agree with someone, our prayer ministers will be to my right and you can line up on this wall and they'll be able to pray with you. Family, we love you. God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.